Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much that you are our King, that you are our Lord, that you are worthy to be praised. Lord, thank you for the gift and the joy and the blessing and the love of worship, Lord. Thank you that we get to be in your presence and enjoy you, to enjoy being in your presence, to enjoy being loved by you, to enjoy that intimacy that comes from knowing you and being known. Father, I just pray for our time this morning as we continue on in worship in your word. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that your word is the truth, that it is your truth that brings freedom and blessing and your goodness into our lives, Lord. Father, thank you for this series that we've been going through, the life of David, the rest of the story, Lord. And as we look at it, what an appropriate appropriate title for the message today, Lord, is as we come to it, enjoy God. We just got to enjoy you. And we are grateful. Lord, as we continue to enjoy you, we just ask for your blessing. Take your word and put it in us. May we be transformed, not just today, not just for the moment, not just an experience, Lord, but truly transformed by your word, by your holy presence in our lives. We pray for freedom. We pray for healing. We pray for joy. Lord, thank you that you are so good. You're not just God, but you're good. And you're holy. And you're here. So thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, guys, we've been looking at David and the rest of the story of David's life. And today we're going to look at 2 Samuel 6, and we're going to be focusing on three verses, verses 20 through 22. But I just wanted to read with you from 2 Samuel 6. And one of the things I want you guys to kind of be aware of is we're going to be hearing about how they're bringing the ark, and David is worshiping and enjoying and enjoying God just like we got to enjoy. And by the way, if you guys got here a little bit late, I'm sorry you missed out on a whole bunch of worship. And it is such a joy to be able to be here and to enjoy together. But if we pick up in verse 12, David has tried to bring the ark. First of all, kind of where we're at, he's finally king, and he's finally been received not only by the people, but by the rest of the family of Saul. And so here David is, and he's for the first time in 100 years, he's going to be bringing the ark back into the tabernacle, and he's bringing it into Jerusalem. And they had tried a little while before, and it didn't go well because they tried to move the ark in a way that didn't honor God. God gave specific ways. If you're going to move the ark, this is how you move it. And they didn't move it that way. And so a man died, and it was a problem, and it ended up in another man's house for about 90 days. And we're going to pick up the story right there. Now, King David was told, the Lord has blessed. This isn't on the overhead, but I just want you guys to listen to this. Now, King David was told, the Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in place inside the tent of David, and he had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. And he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. He blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of the Israelites, both men and women. And all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, and this is the scripture that we're going to be focusing on today. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls and of servants, and as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people in Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." Pretty incredible how David they've messed up bringing the ark, and here comes David, and every six steps they have a sacrifice. Guys, when you worship God, do you feel it in your toes? Do you feel it in your soul? I mean, what a joy this morning to be able to worship God and enjoy Him. And as we look, it's been 100 years since the ark's been in the tabernacle. The ark and the presence represents the presence of God. This is God who wants to be with his people in a special way. And David was moving the ark to Jerusalem. Can you see David dancing? I mean, guys, we have all these dance shows now, don't we? Have you seen any of the dance shows? So you think you can dance? What's one of the big ones where they dance with Dancing with the Stars? Dancing with the Stars. My goodness, we love to dance. It's in us that we love to sing. We love to dance. Some of us should dance in public. Some of us shouldn't. But I think when you're rejoicing before the Lord, all of us should. And here comes David. And so let's look at this scripture. The first thing that we're going to look at is, why was David so free in public worship? Why was it that the king, now remember, this is King David. He's being celebrated as King David. Now, most kings, when they come in, what do? They put on their fine clothes and their crown, and they sit, and people carry them, and it's all about them entering in, and look at the majesty, look at the glory of the king. But you see, David has his eyes, he understands what worship is, and he understands what freedom is in God. And so rather than making this day, the day of bringing the ark, the day of celebrating that the ark is coming, that God is coming, and David is king, and God is behind him, rather than putting the focus on King David, David himself puts the focus on God. Guys, it would be so easy for David to be carried in and everybody to sing the praises of David. But what does David do? He becomes a fool for God. As if you want to enjoy God and if you want to honor God, there are going to be times where God is going to call you to make a fool of yourself for him. There are times where you're going to have to stand up in ways that make you look a little silly, that make you look not so impressive. But when people see you, they're going to see something that's different. They're going to see God in you. And that's what is happening here. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in sight of the slave girls and the servants of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord." He's saying, "I didn't do it for them. And God knows I didn't do it for you, Michal. I did it for him. I did it for God." See, Michal's eyes, her eyes were on herself and especially the people all around. And she was embarrassed that her husband, King Saul, would have never done this. And now David is coming in and he's being a fool in front of the slave girls, in front of the servants. Not only that, he's dressing in this undergarment that's that's mostly see-through. He's basically just robed before everyone. It was what somebody who was an average person would wear. It was the undergarments of an average person. And here that's what David is wearing, and he's going crazy enjoying God. Now, some of you know that I've been caught a couple times late at night when I come in and I think nobody's here or nobody is here, and I'll do this when I'm struggling in my walk or when I'm struggling with my prayer time being real. Sometimes I feel distant from God, and I feel like I'm going through the motions and I'm not just connecting. So I'll come here and I'll get on the piano, and Ron gives me a hard time because I'll play my 20 chords, and I don't know many more than that, maybe 15 chords. And I'll just sing as loud as I can. And every once in a while, as I'm just going to town, I hear, Pastor, can I ask you a question? Oh, hey, how you doing? No, I'm not crazy. You see, here's David enjoying God. And he comes home. Have you ever had a time where you just enjoyed God so much and you come home and what happens? Or you go somewhere else or you go somewhere new and instantly the joy is just sucks out. And so you find yourself in a place where, oh my goodness, here I'm enjoying God. And he comes home and he talks to his wife and she's just, you jerk, you, how dare you. Guys, I want to encourage you with this. Pirates, they always look for loaded vessels. Pirates always look for loaded vessels. When the enemy comes, he's looking. When you are loaded with the Holy Spirit, when you have God in you, you are a bounty for the taking. And the enemy, will come and he'll attack with all guns going. And the very thing that you experienced, which was God himself, that knowing God, that experiencing God, not just experientially, but intimately, in a real way with God, is at risk because the enemy will hit you at those times. And here his wife is just hitting him over the head, and she's focusing on herself. But David worshiped before the Lord. I want to encourage you guys. Guys, we can't just mess around in our faith. We can't go through the motions of religion. When you enjoy God, it will change you from the inside out, and you will do new things, and you will experience God in new ways. And when that happens, your joy before the Lord is going to be a target for the enemy. So be prepared for battle. I love it that in verse 14 it said, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. Now, my boys just had their first dance. I think it was Thomas's first dance and at the school, at the junior high. And I think it was, Isaac, was that the first dance you went to? Yeah, it was his second. All right. Big time. All right. And I was telling my kids, I was like, oh, yeah, because we were joking with them. I was saying, you know, Julie and I, we were getting a hard time because we're going to come chaperone your dance. You should have seen their eyes. They're like, no! So even the day that they were going to school to have the dance right after school, I was like, yeah, I just might see you there, you know, and giving them a hard time. No, please, Dad. Now, at dances in the 80s, do you guys remember the 80s? For those of you that don't know the 80s, first of all, you missed out. There were no rules in the 80s. When we danced in the 80s, there were body parts going everywhere. I'll save you, but from me showing you, but it was incredible. We had so much fun. And then that's right, the 50s swing dancing, and yeah. Julie and I, every time we go to a wedding is the only time I'll get my wife to dance with me. And so she'll swing dance with me for a few dances to pacify me. But But here's David, and he's dancing before the Lord, and he's enjoying him. He's enjoying, but it's before God. Guys, when your eyes are on God, you lose sight of the other things. You lose sight of the things, number one, the things that will bring you down, or the things that will distract you, or you'll lose sight of the things that you shouldn't have your eyes on in the first place. And here David is enjoying God. Another thing is why David was so free in public worship was he worshiped in spirit and in truth. David said to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me. You see, the reason that David has such freedom is he understands where he stands in God. He didn't choose God. It's not because he's good enough. It's not because he's king. It's not because he's the best king. It's because he belongs to God. He understands that he didn't choose God. God chose him, and he responded. In that truth, there is great freedom, guys. When you enjoy your understanding of, I am positioned in Jesus Christ, that is my identity. When you know who you are, you have freedom. Because when you don't know who you are, when you're tossed around by what people say, you're this, you're that. Oh, I guess I'm this, I guess I'm that. You have no freedom. You're bound. You're bound. It was before the Lord who chose me. You guys have been, many of you have been downstairs at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings, learning about what it means to be sealed in Christ. What it means to be true in your salvation, to know that it's not about you, it's about him. And when he has made that choice and you have responded, it is a real choice that lasts for a lifetime. Yes, you struggle. Yes, you have times of things not going as well as others. But your salvation is secure in him because of who he is, not who you are. Because of what he's done, not what you do. He worshiped in spirit and in truth. Why was David so free in public worship? He wasn't full of himself. Guys, he wasn't full of himself. He says, I will become even more undignified than this. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. He's not full of himself. He's not focusing on the slave girls or the servants or the people around him. But when he's speaking to his wife and she's trying to bring him down, he's saying, I don't care what I look like. I'm willing to humble myself before my God. You see, proud men can't enjoy God's grace because they have to earn it. It's about what I do. But humble men enjoy the grace. And as a result, they give away grace. Because you can't give away what you don't have. And when you feel, I've earned this, how dare you mock me? I'm a Christian. I deserve it. I'm a good person. I'm better than you. Lord knows I'm better than him. Not to mention, see, proud people start comparing. Start saying, it's all about me. I earned it. And so when you do something against me, you've done something against the one I worship. Therefore, you must experience the wrath of this God. Because I'm a proud man, I don't owe grace, so I can't give grace away. But when I experience the grace of God through a humble spirit, through saying, God, I cannot do this. I am incapable of following you, of obeying you, of honoring you in my own strength. I need your Holy Spirit to work through me. Not only to give me the strength to do it, but give me the desire to want to do it. Because as soon as I'm out on my own, something catches my eye. And we can be so driven if it's about us. If it's about us. Now it's about satisfying my moment here and now. Because this is the God I worship. And so now all of you are here for me.
So don't come against me, or you will experience my wrath. That's the heart of a proud man. Humble man says, I can't. God, do for me what I can't do for myself. I want to enjoy you. I want to know you. I need help. I need help. And you're the only one that can help me. Understanding his salvation brought joy also through community worship. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls and the servants as any vulgar fellow would. What's David doing? Not only is he focusing on God, he's with the people. Guys, I've shared it before. For me, for many people, preaching up on a stage is fine. For me, it makes me feel separate and it makes me feel full of myself. I'm not able to handle it. My inner character isn't strong enough to handle being up there because it starts making me feel like it's, hey, some people are strong enough to be up there. Some people are able to do it without the focus going on themselves. I'm not. I want to connect, and I want, boy, I tell you, it's so easy when we find ourselves in places where we put ourselves up at work, where we put ourselves up in places where we have the answers, where we're the ones that people should come to, where life is about us. Man, it is dangerous because we miss out on community. We miss out on community. It is a joy to be able to be here and enjoy God with each other. I got to tell you, guys, we had about a third of the amount of people when we started worshiping today, and it was a joy, but I was so thankful that I was able to say to Homer, I said, can we do one more song? So that last one that we did, it wasn't planned. They just pulled it out. Because I wanted you guys to experience the joy of worshiping together. I want it. You know, when we come and enjoy God, man, when we do it together in community, it is truly wonderful. Not only that, but David gave cakes and raisin cakes and other things. He made it a time to say, I wanna serve you. I wanna do this together. And he was with the people. Where was Michal? Where was his wife? She was separate, wasn't she? She was off doing her own thing. She was. She wasn't enjoying the fellowship. Not only that, she didn't even get to enjoy the fellowship when her husband got home. She had so above everyone and everything that everything was distant because she had to be above it. And so she missed out in the community worship. Guys, we have got to figure out ways. We've got to be creative of how to get involved more and more. We've done it some, and we've grown some, but we need to continue to grow in getting involved in the community. There's been a few things that I've offered to be a part of, and I had to sign my name and write out pages of stuff that said I could be involved, and then it said pastor on it, and I keep wondering, is that why I got a no or a no response? And you know what God put on my heart this week? Actually, it was day before yesterday. He said, Matthew, go back. Go back. I know they've not responded. You fill out the paperwork. You've gone through it. You've handed it in. They haven't responded. Go back to those people and see. Maybe there's some fear that they have. Maybe, I don't know. Who knows what happened? But go back. Get involved in the community more and more. Keep trying. And when it doesn't work, keep making the effort. Keep getting involved. Keep being a part of the community. Be like David, not like Michal. Understanding his salvation brought joy through a commitment to get personally involved. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. He is getting him. He is dancing. He is just going wild. And think of what the people are like as they watch King David. Do you think they've ever seen a king like this? Now remember, David is what? He's a picture of Christ. And he's doing things differently. When Jesus came, he did things differently. David is not making about himself. Jesus does not make it about being selfish. And Jesus understands in the Trinity, the perfect unity of the Trinity, that he comes to glorify the Father. Not only that, he's willing to be humiliated. When Jesus was on the way to the cross, rather than coming in, the big, big ta-da, Jesus rides in on a donkey. And then later, he's ultimately humiliated. He's spit on and mocked. The very people that God created are mocking God in the flesh. He was willing to be humiliated for us. Because his death on the cross did for us what we can't do. His death, his humiliation, was our salvation and life, our purpose. And if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you know about God and you're religious, you're missing out. It's like dancing by shifting weight. Have you ever seen that shifting weight dancing? That is not dancing. Guys, religion is not knowing God. It's boring. It's dead. And it's old. And it's dying. And it's dead. It's about rules. It's about do's, mostly don'ts. What you don't do, what you shouldn't do, what you can't do, what you shouldn't think. No, it's about knowing God and enjoying him. And by enjoying him, it means obedience. Because I get to love him back. And when I get to love him back, now I experience life in a whole new way. I get to experience the goodness of him, and it causes something inside of me to rejoice and to be crazy man dancing. When Alexia, my daughter, came to faith, it was when we were dancing in the living room. We were just singing, dancing, and going crazy. And she just stopped me. I'd been praying for a while for her. I'd been having people around, friends and family, praying for her because I knew she was the last one of the kids, of our four kids, to make that decision. And we were all praying. And sure enough, we're going crazy dancing in the living room. And she grabs me in the middle of a song and said, "Dad, I need to talk to you in the other room." We go in. She goes, "I need Jesus now. I need Jesus." Okay. See, the joy of the Lord touched her. Has the joy of the Lord touched you, or is it about trying to just get through it? If I can just muster enough strength to get through today, if I can just, God help me, because seriously, I'm going to be on a tower somewhere pretty soon. If you have four children like me, you've thought about a tower. There are times. A commitment to getting personally involved and understanding his salvation brought joy through intimacy and enthusiasm with God. Oh, man. Guys, don't get lost in religion. Don't get lost in the do's and don'ts. Enjoy him. When you experience his grace and love and very person, you got to give it away. And sometimes you look a little foolish doing it because the world doesn't give as God gives and as God's people give. The world says, "I'll give you because you're going to give back to me. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You do this for me, we can talk." And God says, "I give it all. I give my very son. I give Christ died on the cross. He gave it all. He was made the fool. And some believe and some receive and experience the goodness. Understanding of salvation brought joy through that kind of enthusiasm, guys. And last, enjoying God creates a missionary's heart. Guys, hear this. Enjoying God creates a missionary's heart. When you enjoy Him, your focus is on Him, you're experiencing Him in your everyday life, and guess what happens as you talk with other people? There's joy. Not just, have you ever seen the person who smiles and the smile never fades, but there's no joy behind the smile? Guys, I got to tell you, we've all done it, but when it becomes somebody's actual how they cope, the fake smile and the miserable heart behind it, it's heartbreaking. Because they don't feel like they can reach out. They don't feel like they can be real with who they are. Therefore, they're constantly fake and afraid that if anybody knew who I was, if anybody knew what I'm capable of, what I've actually done, if anybody knew my closet, if anybody knew my junk, they wouldn't receive me, let alone God. Guess what? God knows. You haven't hid it from God. And you know what He says? I love you. And I'm here for you. I'm here to take that closet and blow it up. And take the junk as far as the east is from the west. Get rid of it so that you can experience my goodness and my joy. Enjoying God creates a missionary's heart. Guys, when we enjoy God, we give God away. We stop being focused on self and we start seeing, all of a sudden, we don't see the person. We don't even see what they're doing, whether it's good or bad towards us, as much as we see what's not being said. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had that experience in your own heart where you're walking strong with the Lord and things are going well, you're obeying Him, you're enjoying Him, you're loving Him back through obedience, and all of a sudden you see things more clearly. And you start hearing not only what people are saying, but what they're not saying. And you're full. And you want to give more away. Guys, we will give so much more away if we enjoy God. If we get away from the trying to do it through our own strength and be good enough and earn it. Guys, that is no way to live. That's a death. That's discouragement. It's defeat. Enjoy God. He's worth enjoying. He is good, guys. God is good. God is good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You so much that we can have hearts like David and we can go and worship and enjoy and be with You and be blessed and then turn around to the people and give Your blessing away. Lord, protect us from hearts like Michael. Protect us from that heart that separates ourselves and thinks of ourselves as better or more important than others or than You. Father, humble us. Do whatever it takes in our lives to humble us. Bring us to wherever we need to be brought. Lord, we offer up our lives to You to do what You need to do so that we are humble before You, so that we can finally come to that place in the pig slop, feeding the pigs like the prodigal son, and we can come to our senses in humility and come home to You. Lord, thank You that You are so patient with us. Father, thank You that You are so merciful and full of grace, giving us what we don't deserve. Lord, thank You. May we enjoy You this week more, and enjoy the people around us more, and enjoy loving You back. May it be beautiful. May it win other people's hearts to You. May others, when they're struggling, see You in our lives and ask questions. And may we be ready with answers, not about ourselves, but about You and what You've done in our life, how You've changed us. Just as simple as that. That's the heart of the missionary, sharing with others what You've done in our lives in a very personal way with our story about what you have done. Lord, bless us to make us a blessing to many. We pray this in Jesus' name.